Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Tuesday, October 9th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. A little bit shorter show today. We're probably going to have to end right about 1 o'clock. I'm hitting the road. We're going to be on the road all week, actually, the rest of the week. And so we're going to have to get out of here early to beat some of the Atlanta traffic as we go through there. But so we're going to look at ending the show at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I've already talked to Jeanette Berenger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. She'll be joining us today at 12:15, and we will get live with her, and then we'll go until 1 o'clock, and then we'll end the show. We will look forward to having a show tomorrow as well. Of course, I'll have little man with me while Jen is in professional development all day. But we've done that before, so I still anticipate having a show tomorrow. Looks like tomorrow we'll have the owner and founder of Crazy K Farm, Toby, is going to be on the show with us, telling about her new products, the Birdie Booty, I think it's called, and the Birdie Bra, and the Hen Savers, and other things like that. So being a continuing Small Business Wednesday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And she'll be joining us tomorrow. This coming Thursday, we've got Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. He'll be joining us this Thursday. The topic's going to be the best wood for the wood stove. And also wood stove cooking, I believe, kind of a little combination there, I believe, from what I remember seeing from his email. But definitely the best woods for the wood stove and the best woods for cooking with a wood stove. So we've got that coming up Thursday. And then this coming Friday, it looks like it'll be a fun Friday. I do anticipate having the show this Friday, even though we're going to be on the road. So we'll on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. So so looking forward to that. But we should continue. I don't think any of it will interrupt the radio shows this week, hoping that. Yes, yesterday was a holiday. And so, Peter, we talked to each other late last week or over the weekend, maybe Friday, Saturday, and chose not to have a show. We wanted you to have time and enjoy your family if you had the day off. We enjoyed our family yesterday with the day off, and I'm sure Peter did too. So no show yesterday because of the holiday, but we're back here with you today. And here in the next few minutes, we'll be joined by Jeanette Berenger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. I want to talk about something real quick here. You know, the chicken coop contest. Andy, you can sing better than that. A little stuffy this morning, a little stuffy, so it's one of those things. So what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I posted it over on my Facebook page. I'll just read you what I posted on Facebook. And so far, a couple of news reports have grabbed it and done articles on it. But it's just one thing that I had posted this morning on our Facebook page, keeping you informed about what's going on in the chicken world around the world. So I'll just read you what I posted. The title of the article is "The Incredible Leadable Egg," lead, L-E-A-D, not edible, but the incredible leadable egg. Hyperlocal chicken farming could create health risks. Okay. Hyperlocal chicken farming could create health risk. Now, I posted that, and then I put my little 2 cents worth in there like I always do. I put, even though this particular story came out yesterday, it's pretty old news. I reported on this about 2 years ago as the national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. I was one of the first people contacted by the CDC and EPA about the possibility regarding backyard flocks. After a few conference calls, I personally made the decision from information that was shared with me that it did not even warrant talking about or taking the time to share as a show topic. One theory is that old homes / barns that may have been painted with lead paint back in the day and have since been scraped and painted again may have shed paint chips around the base of the foundation where chickens like to scratch and peck, therefore possibly eating the old lead paint chips. If they present me, being the CDC and the EPA, if they present me with more concrete proof that backyard eggs could be dangerous to adults or, more importantly, children, I would not hesitate to have both of them on the show to share their findings. But up to this point, from talking with them firsthand, several conference calls, I didn't want to, be the chicken little, the sky is falling, and, put all these, oh no, warning, when it may not even warrant that based on the studies and the findings. So I just saw another article pop up, and I'll read that one to you. But I also posted, this is why I don't have time to sit on the sofa all day and post chicken pictures from Pinterest on my Facebook page. Other Facebook pages, they post, they sit on the couch all day and post pictures of chickens from Pinterest. But I'm doing my best to keep you informed about the real issues and spreading the chicken love all over the country with tours, events, workshops, webinars, books, and more. Power to the poultry. So yeah, I could post a cute picture of a chicken from Pinterest, but I think this is more important, dealing with the education and teaching folks about this and other things about backyard poultry, the real issues, not a picture from Pinterest. So I'll read you this article that we were talking about here. And there was another one that I'll read as well before we go over to the phone lines and bring Jeanette on, when this thing will ever load here. Hello. Here we go. Like I said, the incredible lettable egg, hyperlocal chicken farming could create health risks. Okay, here we go. You be the decision maker here. You got to crack an egg to make an omelet, but who knew you probably had to be okay with a little lead poisoning to raise an urban chicken? Okay, not really poisoning, but still lead. Yet the increasingly popular Brooklyn pastime of raising chickens has hit an itty-bitty microscopic snag: elevated levels of lead. Just how concerned should you be depends on your eggs and who's eating them. Careful with the kids, eh? But here, let the times scare you a bit after yesterday's fresh Fort Greene frittata. Henry M. Splithoff, a research scientist at the Bureau of Toxic Substance Assessment for the Environmental Health Center of the State Health Department, he tested 58 eggs from chickens living in New York City gardens. 58 eggs that he tested. And he found that 28 of them contained lead in amounts of 10 to 73 parts per billion, with one egg having more than 100 parts per billion. Not sure exactly what that means. As we said, it's complicated. And how much lead is acceptable isn't an easy answer either. The EPA's action level for lead in tap water, for example, is 15 parts per billion, but the FDA has also set 100 parts per billion as the maximum acceptable lead level for candy likely to be consumed frequently by small children. And the EU, meanwhile, says that any non-game poultry with more than 100 parts per billion lead must be taken off the market. So, what is a health-conscious chicken owner to do? Test your chickens. That's what father of two, Michael Brownstein, did. Not that it helped much. He had all of his six hens tested and found that while some were lead-free, some had a wee bit of lead in them. Unsure how to proceed, he took his test results to his kid's pediatrician, and they all decided it was fine for the tots to eat the eggs. So that was the first one we talked about that I actually posted on the Facebook page. And since then, let me get back over here for a second. Okay, the second one, let me go over here to the email. It just popped up. I haven't even had time to read it. Everybody's grabbing a hold of the story and running with it. See, this is a news wire. The headline is, some backyard chicken eggs may contain lead. Scare tactics, people, scare tactics. That's why I didn't have any story on it. I told you about it back when we were talking with the EPA and CDC, but that was about it. A new report could raise concerns for Evanston residents who've taken advantage of the city's two-year-old backyard chicken ordinance. The New York Times says a study of eggs produced by backyard chickens in New York neighborhoods found that nearly half of them contained measurable levels of lead. Health officials in New York say they're not sure how to interpret the results of the study because there are no established limits in the United States for lead in eggs. A health department spokesperson said it generally supports home chicken raising, but also seeks to reduce lead exposure. That's it. So see, if an article pulls from that, and that's all they have is two paragraphs of information, then obviously I was right 2 years ago when we were talking with the EPA and the FDA and the CDC, and conference called with them. And it was, at least my opinion, determined because they wanted to come on the show or do a show about it. And I said, look, I'm not going to be, you know, waving red flags and jumping up and down and scaring people about something that may not be an issue at all. I told them, I said, if you can come back with me and show me significant proof or concern that we need to broadcast this to thousands of listeners, then I will be more than happy to do so. The show is all about education and informing and the whole nine yards. You know, y'all listen to the show. But I wasn't gonna chicken calling because of just some speculation. But like I said in that Facebook post, the speculation there is that if you have an old house, if you have an old barn in your backyard, we all know how chickens like to scratch along the foundation of the barn looking for insects and grubs and everything else. That they may be picking up some lead chips. And then that lead gets into the eggs. That was really the only scenario that they came up with about how maybe backyard birds, backyard chickens could get the lead into the system that we found in the eggs. So they didn't have any other scenario of how they could how it could happen. It may be something from feed or a type of feed or pesticides are in the feed or who knows. So it just did not warrant, jumping up and down, waving red flags about this. So wasn't a big deal. If they approach me again with some concrete proof, by golly, we'll have them on the show. We'll share all their findings. And then again, you can make your decision based on your environment and your backyard, the age of your house, the age of your barn, and maybe tell you how to go get your pay money to have your eggs tested for lead. But right now, I don't, just from the information that's out there, don't see that really warrants any of that information. So no problem there. No big deal. So just wanted to share that with you as well. Still waiting for Jeanette to call in. I was just looking. Let me go over here and refresh the switchboard and see if maybe she's called in. And it hasn't reflected it on the switchboard, so let me refresh that. Nope, not yet. So we're waiting for her to call in. I'll share again with you if you're a first-time listener, very much. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We're right in the middle of two, not one, but two chicken coop contests that we have that we're offering here. The contest number one is a password collection contest every single day, Monday through Friday, every weekday, Monday through Friday. I will announce a secret password on the radio show. I will also post that password on our Facebook fan page and on our Twitter account. So if you can't listen live, you can always listen to the archive of the show 24/7 and get that secret password. Or you can just go check us out on Facebook and Twitter and get that secret password. Basically what you do is you will collect the password every day, Monday through Friday. We started the contest on October 1st. It will end on October 30th, and then we'll give away the coops on October 31st on our Halloween show. So there'll be 22 secret passwords Monday through Friday, starting the 1st, ending on the 30th, and then we'll give the coop away on the 31st. Now, what happens is with contest number one, which happens to be sponsored by MyPetChicken.com, is that on Halloween, our Halloween radio show on October 31st, if you happen to be the correct caller, okay, and can recite all 22 secret passwords correctly, then you're going to win that coupe. So on that day, we'll say, hey, caller number 43, right now, if you're caller number 43 and can recite all the secret passwords correctly, all 22, then you're going to win your choice of coops, actually, out of three from MyPetChicken.com. You've got the Four Square, the Salt Box, and the Bungalow. Those are the three coops you can choose from over at MyPetChicken.com. Now, contest number two we're running for the month of October is brought to you by SnapLockChickenCoops.com. We're giving away a SnapLock chicken coop from them. You can check them out online as well. And no listening live to, no calling in, nothing. Very simple to enter. And we wanted to make sure that anybody and everybody that wanted to enter both these contests could, even based on their work schedule. So contest number two for October, same thing. It will end at 11:59 p.m. on October the 30th. Okay. And to enter that contest, all you have to do is send us an email. Your email is your entry. Only one entry per household, please. More than one will get you disqualified, and your entry will be deleted. Okay? So very simply, to enter that contest, all you have to do is send me an email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay? contest@chickenwhisperer.net. You'll put chicken coop contest in the subject line. Okay? Chicken coop contest in the subject line. And then in the email itself, I need three things: your name, your shipping address, and your phone number. Your name, shipping address, and phone number in the email itself. Send that, and you are entered into contest number two. So, yep, we are not giving away one, but we're giving away two chicken coops during the month of October, thanks to our awesome sponsors. And those are the ways to enter both of the chicken coop contests. So hope you've already entered. Good luck if you have. If you haven't, you can do that today, or you can start collecting those passwords today. And just so I don't forget, and since it's going to be a little bit shorter show, I want to let you know that today's secret password is Wattle. Today's secret password is Wattle, and it has already been posted on our Facebook page. So, all right, it is now time for our special guest segment, our special guest segment today. Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com. Alrighty, well, I saw that Jeanette had called in, and then she must have got called away because she just disappeared as I clicked that soundbite for the special guest segment. So let me refresh one more time the switchboard and see if she's going to call back in. But she did call in. She had pressed 1. And then all of a sudden she disappeared. So maybe she had to had another call to take or had some business there at her desk. So no worries. I'm sure she will be here shortly. And I believe today that she's going to be talking about, let me see if I have the topic over here. Yeah, just so you know, talking about the APA, the American Poultry Association, the APA show in Ohio over the weekend, and the continuation of the ALBC photo documentation project for poultry breeds. Okay, so today she's going to be talking about the APA show that was in Ohio over the weekend, and a continuation, she's talked about this before, the ALBC photo documentation project for poultry breeds. Very, very interesting there. She's talked about getting some pictures and documenting the birds and whatnot. So waiting for her to call in. Let me get over here to the chat room and send a shout out to everybody. UMC Vet is joining us today. I'll get with you on ham radio a little bit later as we are heading up closer to Atlanta over there on the Stone Mountain Repeater. KK4EFG. Alrighty. And but yeah, I want to send a shout out to everybody over in the chat room. Thank you very much for listening. We got Chaz Squirrel and Cheap Pete Poultry, and we got Christmas Chick and East Dallas Dave, and many guests in the show today. Thank you very much, guests, for tuning in. We would invite you to join us in the chat room. All you have to do is register with Blog Talk Radio. You can register with your Twitter account, Facebook account, or create one just for Blog Talk Radio and join us. We've got Jessica in there, and I'm so sorry to hear about your black eye. I hope you're doing well, and they've determined what was the cause of that medical issue that you shared with us in the chat room, and I hope you're doing well. I hope you don't have any more of those. Those are never fun. JR Chicks and Chef, we got Nancy, Neva, New Dawn Farm Girl, Pamela, another Pamela, we got Poet's Wife, Ralph, the Fam Farm, and of course UMC Vet. Okay, she's had seizures since she was 12. Okay, so we hope that they can tweak your medicine as a paramedic for many years, maybe a decade, EMT and paramedic, picked up plenty of seizure patients, and so maybe they can tweak your medicine a little bit to make sure that you don't have them as often, or find out what may have caused this one. So hope you're doing well with that. Lots of great friends have been made in the chat room, and we appreciate y'all from tuning in every day here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Okay, let's see. Jeanette calling in here. I may have to try to give her a call and see. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Jen was bringing me some lunch before we hit the road here, so we don't have to stop on the way. So let me go ahead and try to give her a call, try to send her a real quick email and see if she, because I just talked to her this morning about coming on. Let me see. I can probably do this while I'm on the air. And I know she has the number because I think she had called in earlier. There we go. Let me send that over to her. Okay, let's see what we got here. Sent. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Yep, Jeanette Berenger with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They do great work. In fact, I'm going to be a guest speaker. In fact, so is Pat, my co-host, actually about 1 month from now. I believe it's the 9th and 10th of November. It's the annual American Livestock Breeds Conservancy annual conference up there. It's in Cary, North Carolina, which is just outside of Raleigh. And, man, I tell you, if you own a homestead, if you're interested in heritage breeds, you do not want to miss it. Absolutely not. You can get all kinds of information from them, www.albc.org. Www.albc-usa.org is the exact website. One more time, www.albc-usa.org. And it is the 9th and 10th of November, I believe, in Cary, North Carolina, right there in the kind of the triangle area, Cary, Raleigh, Wake Forest, Durham, that area of North Carolina. And they're going to have tons and tons and tons of authors there and breeders there, not just for chickens, but pigs and goats and horses and sheep and all kinds of great things. There's going to be classes that you can sign up, workshops that you can sign up to take. And I have been assigned getting started with backyard poultry, So I'm very honest with you guys. It's if you choose to attend and you choose to fork out your hard-earned money to educate yourself further on your lifestyle of maybe homesteading, raising your animals, heritage breeds, if you've owned chickens more than about 2 or 3 years, then I'll be more than happy to see you and sign your book or that you have that you bought or whatever, talk with you. But to spend your money a little more wisely if you've had chickens more than 2 or 3 years and sign up for another class. And again, hint, getting started with backyard poultry. Basically, it's going to talk a little bit about everything. We've got a little bit about everything, brooding, incubation, choosing the right breed for you, where to find your chickens, coops, illness, a little bit about illness and disease, maybe what to expect, some nutrition, a little bit about everything, just a little bit to be dangerous is what the topic will be. Up there that I'll be doing at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Annual Conference. So if you've had if you've had chickens longer than 2 or 3 years, I want to say that my segment is,
I can't remember, 70, 80 bucks or something like that. Man, I can't remember. Don't hold me to that. So if I don't want you to spend that, yes, you'd probably learn something from this. But if you've kept chickens more under 2 years, come and see me. Take it. We'll learn together. And we'll have a good time there. But if you haven't, I'm always honest about that because I know it's your time, it's your hard-earned money, and I don't want you to leave thinking, well, gee, I didn't learn much because I've had chickens for 20 years. But I wanted to see what he had to say. But definitely come to the event because there'll be a lot of different classes that you can take. So maybe you could attend there. Definitely looking forward to that. I'm not sure yet if we're going to continue a little tour after the annual conference. We had talked about maybe kicking off maybe a week, five or seven day little tour, launching it there at the ALBC annual conference and maybe hit the road. But I'm not sure yet if that's going to happen. It still might. And we're waiting to hear back from several folks, including Tractor Supply. I know I sent my final proposal to them, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Last week, they were all tied up in a vendor conference, and that's where they look at all kinds of different new products that they may be putting in the stores and different types of vendors. And then this week, they were one of the key decision makers was out of town. So maybe next week we'll hear something back from TSC, and they may actually kick off or sponsor a tour where we'll launch there at the ALBC annual conference there in Raleigh. So, alrighty, it looks like we've got Jeanette's called in. Wonderful. And we'll go over to the phone lines and bring her on right now. Again, shorter show. We're going to wrap this up at 1 o'clock because I've got to own the road again, hit the road. But wanted to bring this great show to you today from Jeanette Barringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Welcome, Jeanette.
Hey, Andy. Sorry, I got carried away talking stud book stuff for Marsh Tackies and then just realized, I was late. But
I hate it when that happens. When I'm talking about studs and I get running late, it just, you know, it's just it happens so often.
Oh, well, you know, Marsh Tackies, I can go on and on about them for hours. You know, I do get carried away, but I'm fresh back from being out of town. I was with your co-host Pat. We were over at the APA National Meet in Ohio this past weekend.
Great.
And had an absolute blast. We continued with our photo documentation project with Heritage Breed Poultry, and so set up a photo booth there to try and photograph some of the breeds that we just don't have any pictures for. And it's been a real challenge because, you know, some of the harder to find breeds are, you know, even hard to find at big shows like that. And this year they had about 4,000 birds show up at the show, and it was over in Lucasville, Ohio.
Okay, so just to clarify, this isn't the Ohio National that you were at. That hasn't yet been, is that correct, or was it?
That's correct. This was the APA National that happened to be in Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, but the astounding thing about this particular event was the quality of birds that showed up. You know, I was chatting with Craig Russell, who's from the SPPA, you know, the he even said he was just really stunned at the quality of birds. And I don't envy the job that the judges had over the weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the winner was a salmon favarole.
All right.
Yeah. And
those have become more and more popular. I see more and more Facebook posts and more people posting pictures of that particular breed, just even in the last 6 months.
Well, they're a really great dual-purpose breed, and they, you know, they're kind of laid-back and easygoing chickens. My neighbor has some wandering around her property, and I'm always tempted to, you know, think about another breed, but I, you know, we're going to stick with our Buckeyes. But every once in a while, I get tempted, and definitely one of the French breeds is always on the back burner of my mind, but I haven't quite convinced myself we're ready for another breed on our plate yet. But, you know, the regarding the Faverolles, one thing I did not expect to see were white Faverolles, which I've never seen before. And there's a gentleman who's been working with them for quite a while, and he brought some over, and we were lucky enough to photograph them. But he's telling me there's only 50 or 60 left in the country, and that's it.
How many?
He thinks there's only 50 or 60 of them left. He doesn't think there's too many.
Of the white ones?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, his birds were fabulous. I mean, really good-looking specimens. And I think because people, you know, really lean towards the more colorful version that, you know, they just are so much more popular than the whites. But I was really quite surprised at how stunning the white Faverolle could be. And I'll have to send you some of the pictures once I get through all my editing. And I took, I think I ended up taking about 1,400 pictures, so I got a lot to go through.
Let me ask you a question. It just popped in my head, and you would be the one to ask.
Sure.
Others may be thinking the same thing. When you're down, when he's claiming that there may be only 50 or 60 in the country, obviously he's breeding these. Are you at that point of on the, I guess the dangerous level, if you're at that point, I know that people are still very concerned about you know, breeding accurately and trying to get the best birds that they can from the breed. But if we're still, I mean, if we're really that low for that particular breed, then I mean, you would think that he would start just incubating every single possible egg he could get, whether it be maybe the perfect chicken or meet the standard or not, to try to increase more and more of that breed. Is that, or even when they get that low, is it still, well, we still have to, as much as I hate to, there's only 60 left, we got to cull them because they're not great, we want to keep the breed as true as possible? Or when they get that low, is it, I mean, why isn't it just, man, we need to incubate as many as we can to increase this? And then we'll worry about, you know, the eliminating maybe the ones that aren't so perfect a little later.
Well, I think it's, you know, that would be the you know, the thing that you'd think would be the easiest thing to do. But, you know, if you don't have enough space to support having that many animals, and that coupled with there's just not a big demand for the birds. So, yeah, you can breed a whole bunch, but where are they going to go is the issue. And I was happy to talk to him about the whites, because now that I'm aware of the situation with the whites, I can try and, you know, use our networks to garner interest in the breed. And so hopefully we can get word out that here's a source of high quality white Faverolles, and we really need people to think about keeping them and breeding them, and hopefully get some more people interested. But, you know, it's that way with a lot of the breeds, in that, you know, some of the populations do get quite low, but we don't know that until we've got census numbers, and we can't raise a red flag until somebody talks to us about it. We are hoping to do a real in-depth poultry census starting next year. We're finishing up a livestock census right now, and poultry will take much longer because, as you can imagine, trying to track down animals when there's no official registry can be quite problematic. It takes a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails to individual breeders, and we can formulate an educated guesstimate with poultry. I don't know if we'll ever be exact with poultry, but, you know, we can get a good idea of the status of each of the breeds, and, you know, break the breeds down into color varieties, too, because, you know, with some breeds, color varieties within a breed could be genetically very different from each other, you know, like the white Chanticleer and the buff Chanticleer. Genetically, they're two different birds. You know, they had different foundation breeds used to create them. And so, you know, it's interesting for us. And one step towards working that out occurred at the APA show as well. And that's, I was very excited to have Professor Ben Dorshurst from Virginia Tech came up with us. And he is a poultry geneticist who is particularly interested in poultry color genetics. And so thanks to Tractor Supply, we had $20 gift cards. And so for a $20 gift card, we asked people to have their birds photographed and then to consider letting Dr. Dorscher collect some blood samples to do work on color genetics. And he also does some stuff with comb genetics and leg feathering, spurs, and egg color. Those are the things that he's really interested in. And we were stunned. I think everybody except one guy let us take blood. And so it was a really productive trip. We got a lot of great samples and photos, and it opens the door to a relationship with Virginia Tech to try and answer some of these questions that we have about the breeds. So
that's great.
About it.
You made a good point that I'm sure a lot of people just don't think about when you're talking about the white variation. That, you know, you were saying that that just it's not popular, and so you don't often think about, you know, when you're thinking about animals that may be on your critical list. You know, a lot of folks mainstream just might think, you know, what are almost extinct? Well, certain types of elephants or lions or monkeys or the bald eagle or whatever. The condor and things, but it doesn't often enter into, I guess, the everyday person's mind, and including myself, where, you know, well, this breed here is on the critical list because it's just not popular. You know, people don't want it. They don't like the color. They'd rather have a buff or a chocolate or whatever. So because of that, because people just don't like it, it has now come down to where it's on the critical list, and there's only 50 or 60 left in the country because they're just not popular. It's just something that you don't think about on a daily basis.
Like in the example of the White Holland, we think they're gone. You know, that's it. You know, we don't think there are any pure White Hollands out there. We're hoping somebody will prove us wrong, but, you know, the Barred Holland luckily is starting to get some enthusiasts and people working with them, but we've been searching all over for White Hollands and have not been able to find any, so that may have gone the way of the dodo. But, yeah, people don't think about this stuff typically, and it's interesting you brought that up because our communications manager is actually working on an ad that equates, you know, exotic animal extinction and domestic animal extinction and, you know, saying there are more giant pandas in the world than white favorals, you know.
Wow.
Like that. But it was a very productive trip, and, you know, I love the chance to be able to talk to the breeders and get some insight into what they're doing. And I had a talk with this Houdan breeder, not Houdan, Polish breeder, that gave me some really interesting insight on how he has his Polish chickens so tamed down. And, you know, with that big crest on their heads, the birds really can't see anything from above. And, it was remarkable just how calm his Polishes were. And he said the reason that his are super calm is when they're babies, he raises them in hutches that are eye level. And so they always, he's got plexiglass in the front. And so when he comes into the barn or whenever he's cleaning or doing whatever, the birds can see everything he's doing and can see his eyes. And he says, so long as they can see and get a good comfort level with the routine, he says they stay really, really calm. I mean, he just, you know, he could pick up his bird and put it down on the floor, and that bird just wouldn't go anywhere, and anybody could pick it up and walk off with it. But, you know, it's little pieces of insight like that that can be really useful to the people that are just getting into raising these guys. And that's why I find going to these shows is just so amazing, because you never know what little gems you'll come back with. But
what are some of the other breeds that y'all drew blood from and for that testing and got pictures of while you were at the show that y'all were looking for?
Well, some of the outstanding birds that come to mind were the Minorcas. There were fantastic Minorcas there. I mean, the cockerels were just stunning, and they were big and they were robust and had good combs, and you know, they were the finest Menorcas that I've seen to date. Even Craig Russell, you know, was you know, drooling over them so much that I think he ended up going home with four or five of them. They were just really great. And another breed I'd never been able to photograph before was Russian Orloff. And there was one gentleman displaying them there. And, Yokohama. I'd never seen a Yokohama before. And there was a little, there was just one there at the show, but it was a halfway decent one. And another really stunning bird that I got a shot of was a silver phoenix. You know, one of the long-tail birds from, I think the phoenix is from Japan. And, you know, the tail length was somewhere like a foot or so long. And, you know, it's not a huge bird. It's kind of a small, gamey type bird with this long, lustrous tail. And it was just gorgeous. And, oh, gosh, there were just so many. It's hard to pick out favorites. But I have to say the Menorcas were a real stunning bird that we did. There were, the ABA had a meet there too, so there were a lot of bantams there. And, you know, bantams are really, you know, a great starting point for folks that don't have a lot of space, but I got to say, the standard birds are the ones that are really in need of more stewards. Like, there were loads and loads of, like, Banty Langshans, but as far as, you know, standard fowl Langshan, there weren't a lot there. There was a couple of really stunning cockerels, and, you know, I hadn't seen a truly big Langshan before until I came to this show, and there was a male, and all I can think of is, wow, this is what they, you know, meant when it was written about these birds, that they were so tall and impressive, and you look at this cockerel in the cage, and that's the first thing you think about is, wow, this is an impressive bird. And same thing with the Brahmas. They had some real big Brahmas, you know, and you can't deny that they're so impressive. No wonder they helped to start hen fever back in the 1800s. Can you imagine never seeing a bird that big before? And in comes the Brahma, and, you know, it just caused a rage in England with poultry breeding. And the Brahma and the Cochins were the ones that really jump-started that. And so those were some of the highlighted breeds I thought were there. They had a really good showing of geese, in particular Africans and American buff geese. There were quite a few there. There were some Chinese, not a boatload, but the majority of the geese that showed up were, like I said, the African and the American buff. Very few turkeys. There weren't too many turkeys there, although there was one slate tom that was particularly gorgeous, and the poor thing, I put him in my photo booth, which wasn't really geared for turkeys, it was more like chickens, but I was like, I've got to get a picture of this bird, so we somehow managed to fit him in the photo booth, and he was very cooperative, and I think I got some good shots of him, but I was really disappointed there weren't more turkeys there, but there were a few really nice ones.
How about the ducks have a good showing?
Yeah, mostly the majority of the ducks there were call ducks, and there were a few larger breeds, not too many, though. There was Rouens that showed up, and maybe three Aylesbury ducks, and there were some buff ducks, and, of course, runners were probably, of the bigger breeds, the runners were probably the most popular breed that was brought. But there were tons and tons of call ducks, and you've probably seen at other shows, call ducks are pretty noisy, so they dominated the background noise in the hall, and I'll have to try and share with you. I took a little video clip to give people an idea of what it's like to be in a room with 4,000 birds. And you can very clearly hear that the call ducks are dominating everybody. But it was a great event, and if anybody's looking to show at a nice venue, Lucasville's pretty nice. It is open air, like there's a roof, and you know it's sheltered, but there are no solid doors blocking the wind or anything, just like screens. And so definitely you want to prepare yourself for whatever weather you're going to have. And it got a little bit cool while we were there. But, you know, everybody had jackets. So, you know, we did okay. But it was really great to see the quality in birds and people paying attention to that. And you know, not a bunch of amateurs, that's for sure. You know, they had a really good turnout for juniors, for your listeners that are mm-hmm. younger and wanting to get started. It was very competitive for the juniors, so that would be a good show to, you know, jumpstart your career in poultry showing if you can make it to Lucasville.
And with all your shows, and I guess I don't guess I've ever asked this before, and I guess the great folks over at the Poultry Press may have, I don't know, this probably may do. Have you found that the rarer breeds do better at shows, or not the case? Because I remember when I think I was up in, I'm trying to think, where a white Leghorn had won the best of show overall everything. I'm trying to think which show. I don't know if that was the Ohio National or if it was the Grand National show up in Indianapolis last year, the big Mac Daddy show.
I think that was Indy where the white Leghorn won.
Okay.
You know, I'll have to say, though, I saw the white Leghorn at this show, and he was stunning, too. he was unbelievable. And, again, I surprised myself because I don't typically gravitate to white birds, but, you know, you got to admit he was just gorgeous. He had it all. And but, you know, I think it varies. You know, I think it's the number of people that are raising these animals, because you got to get a lot of birds on the ground to be able to produce animals of that quality. This year, like with the Faverolles, you had mentioned that, yeah, they are becoming popular and there are more and more people raising them. So, you know, the odds are improving that you're going to get an outstanding bird with more people breeding them and putting effort into them. And so, you know, I think it's just numbers on the ground. You know, if you can get a couple of hundred birds on the ground to choose from, you know, your odds are getting pretty good that you might get something worth keeping. And I know our Don Schreider, who's, you know, famous mm-hmm. light brown Leghorns, you know, every hatching season he was putting a couple of hundred birds on the ground for each color variety, you know. And if he got a small handful or two or three that he was going to bring to the show, you can bet they were pretty good quality. he was a tough guy to beat. You know?
Yeah, if you're putting out that many, then you're gonna have definitely some good ones.
Yeah.
Now tell us, we got about 7 minutes left, but maybe you can tell us, our listeners, we have, you know, again, tons of people that listen to the archive. If you have it in front of you, or if you just kind of know from memory, what are some other breeds that you are looking for and searching for that you're still trying to get good quality photographs of? And then maybe, again, we might can get, if they're listening today or listen to the archive 2 weeks from now or a month from now, and they like, hey, I'm a breeder, I breed these, or I have these, or I show this, maybe if they're looking for the photo, I'd be more than happy to send you one.
Well, some of them that I have not been able to get is like red caps and Sultan, certainly some more Yokohama. Let's see, Malay. I only have a few. I think I have two images. They were challenging to photograph. Let's see, I'm going down my list here. Shamo, I need, and some more Araucanas, Iowa Blue, Lamona, Manx Rumpy or Persian Rumpless, and Naked Necks or Turkins.
Mm-hmm.
And those are ones I just don't have pictures of or don't have good pictures of. And then, you know, with the ducks, I could always use some good shots of Dutch hookbills. And let's see, geese, I could use some more Steinbacher goose photos, Shetland, and with the turkeys, I need chocolate turkey, I need more bourbon red, slate, and Beltsville small white, and that's about the list of what I'm looking for. You know, we're looking for high resolution, good quality shots of quality birds that meet the breed standard. That's one of the things that makes going the APA show most valuable. Is, you know, odds are good that you come across a bird that actually makes breed standard. And so that's what we're looking for.
That's perfect. Maybe someone listening raises those, has some that again meet that standard. But it sounds like from that list that it's just not that, you know, you want to say don't just sound like your everyday backyard birds. So you kind of, again, maybe some of the rare breeds that a lot of people don't keep.
Heard of. Actually, the game birds are particularly challenging. You know, the Orientals, because they're the boys don't get along very well, or even the females sometimes can be aggressive with each other. So it's not something that you can keep in large numbers very easily. So they're a challenge to try and find and then photograph.
That's awesome. Well, we're about 3 minutes from being up. So, hey, I'm really looking forward. I'll be seeing you here and really in exactly a month. It's the 9th of October, and I believe it's the 9th and 10th. So in another month, we'll be up there for the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Annual Conference. So we're definitely looking forward to that up there in Cary. And I told everybody earlier that, you know, it's definitely well worth to come on out and take some of these workshops and enjoy. And of course, every time Pat's on, she just raves about the food that's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I wanted to mention just a last minute thing. We were able to announce the Neiman Marcus puts out their Christmas book every year. And within their catalog, they have the fantasy gift section. And on the very first page of the fantasy gift collection for Neiman Marcus is what they call Bo Coop. And it is a $100,000 heritage hen mini farm. And for $100,000, you can have a Versailles-inspired chicken coop and raised gardens and plantings and a flock of heritage chickens. And $3,000 from every sale will go as a donation to ALBC. So any of you out there that have $100,000 to spend for Christmas, think about getting this fantasy coop.
That is absolutely awesome. So it includes like a whole backyard homestead. It sounds like the raised beds and the coop itself and the coop, of course.
And the coop comes with its own chandelier and artwork, which is, some of it's at the eye level for the chickens. It has some furnishings and some very comfy nest boxes, and it's pretty neat. But if you get a chance, check out the Neiman Marcus catalog. It's a hoot.
That is cool. I don't know if I've ever even owned a Neiman Marcus catalog, or I guess I could stop by a store and pick one up, I'm guessing. But, you know, that I guess that's one of those things that you see, and that would probably get picked up in the news media, because I remember often they'll say, I guess it's Neiman Marcus, and you were saying the exotic gifts or whatever, they'll have like $1 million, what's that called, that car, Bugatti or something like that, or they'll have you know, this private island somewhere that you can buy, or what, these extreme, so $100,000 fancy chicken mansion with raised beds and basically a little urban homestead behind your mansion.
Yep.
Well, now can you? Here's a link. Let me see if someone posted a link. Oh, there it is. I think it's yep. Thank you so much for in the chat room. They just posted a link to this this coop. There it is. Neiman Marcus, Bo Coop.
Yep.
Dawn breaks. The hens descend from their. I can't even pronounce some of these words. Bescuc Versailles. That's Versailles. Inspired Lepit. I'm not even attempt to pronounce all these fancy words in this thing. Jeez, I don't have a degree in foreign language. So the buyer will receive an initial farm consultation and ground survey and two additional on-site visits from Heritage Hen Farm expert Simon. They'll select 3 to 10 heritage breed hens carefully to suit your region. Installation includes 2 custom designed and installed raised. This is awesome. Thanks for posting the link. There it is, $100,000. And oh, look, they got pictures from inside the coop, which looks absolutely, does have a chandelier and some wonderful artwork on the wall and some mirrors and some, wow, how about some decorative plate. Amazing. Hey, this is cool. I got to post this on my Facebook page here before we hit the road. This is really, really cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. So any of our listeners that happens to have just, you know, an extra $100,000 in your back pocket, this would be great, and it would benefit the ALBC. Thanks so much for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure. And thanks again for having me on, and look forward to catching up with you and Terry.
All right. Someone just asked, hey, is this the coop that we get to win at the end of the month with the CW contest? No, definitely not. So, but yes, thank you. We look forward to seeing you in November. Thank you very much for coming on today. And as always, you can visit them, ALBC-USA.org. Jeanette, thank you so much for joining us and the great information you shared.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. All right, that's pretty cool. I got to head over and post that on the Facebook page, just Neiman Marcus thing. That's pretty darn cool. $100,000 sounds worth it to me as a fellow chicken lover. Well, folks, thanks for staying with us today. Sorry about the short show. We got to hit the road and head up towards Atlanta Way. So thank you for tuning in. We'll be on tomorrow. It'll be Caleb and my co-host Caleb and myself tomorrow, and we'll welcome Toby, the owner and founder of Crazy K Farm, continuing our Small Business Wednesday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Thursday, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, and then a fun Friday. And so already announced the secret password for today, but it's already posted on Facebook and Twitter for today as well. Hope you're collecting the passwords, and we hope you have an absolutely fabulous day, and we'll look forward to seeing you here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another great episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So long, everybody. Oh.